Welcome to Adventures in Grace. This is Jim Hockaday, looking to get into the third part of this second part. Boy, that's kind of confusing, isn't it? But it doesn't matter. We're going back to casting your care on the Lord, and I think we can be done with this. Even though the things we're sharing today, we'll continue to share like-minded things. But in the context of casting your care upon the Lord, for he careth for you, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God. Why? Because God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble, that in due time he may exalt you, casting the whole of your care, all your anxiety, all your concerns upon the Lord. Why? Because he cares for you affectionately and he cares for you watchfully. Now the enemy, be sober, because he's going to roam around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, which seems to indicate that he has an easier time devouring and deceiving those who are walking in pride and those who are walking in that stubborn place and that resistance of actually having concern and care. And we don't want to be in that place. We want to be footloose and fancy free. Like Jesus talked about the birds, we want to be careless in the care of God. Well, welcome to this particular session. And you know that number one, we're always trying to help you to allow God to come off the pages of your scripture so you not only know him from the word, but you know him from personal experience as you live with him every single day. Where your prayers are being answered, number two, and where you're sharing your testimony. So let's run right into Matthew chapter 11, 27 to 30, which is the invitation from Jesus for you to have a relationship that looks exactly like his. Now, Jesus resumed talking to the people, but now tenderly. The Father has given me all these things to do and say. This is a unique Father and Son operation coming out of Father and Son intimacies and knowledge. No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does, but I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting upon you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. Wow, what a wonderful, wonderful invitation. Well, let's jump back into John 15, 18 through 21, because we've actually started to share some things concerning how Jesus was fully submitted. Well, that's the humility. Submitted to his Father. And when you're fully submitted to God, what can you be confident of? You can be confident that God will back you up. In other words, if you're submitted to the plan of God, then God takes the responsibility of making sure the plan of God comes to pass. And Jesus lived his life like this. That's why he said, I don't do a single thing unless I hear, see my Father do it. And I don't say a single thing unless I hear my Father say it. That's complete submission. Amen. Amen. Do you know when Jesus was in the roughest spot of his life in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he even prayed, Father, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, thy will be done. That's not the first time Jesus submitted himself to the Father or surrendered his life to the Father. His life was already surrendered. And under the greatest attack of his life, when thoughts came to him of the difficulty of pushing through, and he was at the point of saying, Father, let this cup pass before me, right out of his mouth to give him courage and strength, but not my will, thy will be done. And this has everything to do with humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God, that in due time he may lift you up. There's something about living in a humble place. Do you know, we talked about that concerning Moses, that God said through the prophet, and he spoke and said, you know, to the prophets, I speak in visions and dreams, but to my servant Moses, who is the most humble or meekest in the world, I literally allow him to come into my tent, see him face to face and speak to him like a friend would speak to one another. Man, that's a man under the old covenant. What about the sons of God under the new covenant who have complete access to the throne of God because of God's wonderful grace and mercy? Does it not say to you that we can have something even more tangible? As tangible as the ministry of Jesus? That's why I quoted Matthew 11, 27 to 30. Jesus himself was encouraging us that we can have the exact same relationship. Well, verse 18 says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world, the world would have loved its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master, and if they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. Well, you know the old saying that we've always heard, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. Well, that's very, very, very true. And it helps you to see that we ought to be living by the grace of God. Come on, this is called Adventures in Grace. And one of the first things you're going to experience when God becomes more real to you is you're going to experience the folly, the ridiculousness, the drama of the world and how negative it is and how wrong it is. I'm telling you, when you first really start to have a relationship with God that becomes more real and more tangible, there will be a bunch of sadness involved in your experiences. And you say, why sadness? Because just like Titus 2, 11 and 12 says, grace as our teacher will first show you the folly and ridiculousness of the world. Why? So that you can unhook from it. Come on, if you've been living in this world without a consciousness that you are a spirit being connected to God and you don't have to do things the way the world does it, then most likely you're doing it the way the world does it. And grace is a teacher that will help you to unhook from the world so that you can hook up to God very simply, very naturally, because that's how God created you to be. We're not asking you to do something that's difficult. The only difficult part is to actually have the vision to see where you are and what you are and where you put your value and your attention. And to be able to unhook from where it's in the wrong place. Well, going a little further, we could say this, people who have little connection with God will be mindful of the flesh and the world. And if you're very mindful of the flesh and the world, then what does it say? But the counterpart is you probably have a very little connection to God. Oh no, I have an amazing relationship with God. Well, are you getting answers to your prayers? I just want that to sink in for a moment. You say, well, why do you always have to go to that? Well, there's a scripture. It's my favorite, one of my favorites. John 15, 7 and 8. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you will and it shall be done for you. In this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. What is the fruit connected to? An answered prayer. So what is an answered prayer connected to? Abiding in him and the things that he says to you. What does the word abide mean? To stay continually connected. What is a connection? Time, tangibility, and shared experiences. Okay, I guess I'm going to have, maybe after this session, if I can get through this, I'll have to actually have a session on connection, and I'll go through the progression of what I just gave you. Maybe some of you are scurrying to write that down right now, but that was really, really good, and we'll just spend a whole session or two on that to really be helpful so that you understand what a divine connection with Jesus is. You know, that whole part of his, I don't want to get off here and take too much time, but that whole part of Matthew 11, 27 to 30, where Jesus says, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion, which does what? It brings you into the picture. And then what does he say? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting upon you. Learn the unforced rhythms of God. Keep company with me and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. When you see all of that, notice how Jesus always draws your attention back to hang out with him. Walk with him, work with him, hang out with him, recover your life. I'm not giving you anything heavy. It's really simple. It's really easy. Keep company with me and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. Doesn't that sound like the life we want? Hanging out with Jesus and everything is easy? That's when Jesus can look at a guy being let down through the roof and say, your sins are forgiven. And when the Pharisees didn't like it, he said, well, which is easier, to forgive his sins or to say, rise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of God has power to forgive sins, he said, rise and walk. And the man took up his bed and immediately walked. What was Jesus saying? Man, this is an easy relationship. And if you're in an easy relationship with Jesus, you'll also say to individuals, take up your bed and walk, and they'll walk as well. And you'll also say to yourself, get up and walk, and you'll walk as well. Come on, this is not supposed to be difficult. This is supposed to be fun, fun, fun. All right, Matthew chapter 10, 34 to 39. And this is in the Message Bible. It says, "Don't think I've come to make life cozy. I've come to cut, make a sharp knife cut between son and father, daughter and mother, bride and mother-in-law. Cut through these cozy domestic arrangements and free you for God. Well-meaning family members can be your worst enemies. If you prefer father or mother over me, you don't deserve me. If you prefer son or daughter over me, you don't deserve me. If you don't go all the way with me through thick and thin, you don't deserve me. If your first concern is to look after yourself, you'll never find yourself. But if you forget about yourself and look to me, you'll both find yourself and me." Now that is so absolutely profound, I can't hardly stand it. Makes me want to read that again. And by no means is Jesus saying that it's not important to have a family and to have good relationships with your family. He's trying to give you an understanding of importance. What do you value most important? You know, I've heard individuals say things like this: "Well, I didn't want to go further praying in other tongues because my spouse wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost, and I didn't want to go further than that spouse because that wouldn't be right to them." Well, that sounds really nice. It sounds all pompous and everything, but the truth is you put your spouse above Jesus. If Jesus gave you that gift, if he stopped the disciples from just running into the world and fulfilling the Great Commission and said, "Wait until you be endued with power from on high, that you would be a witness," then obviously Jesus knows you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And if you have that, then you should go as far as you can and just enjoy as much as you can and let your testimonies be the witness to your spouse instead of stopping your progress on behalf of them. That's what Jesus is talking about. Put me first. And so many can't do that. That's what Jesus did when it came to his brothers that were mocking him, saying, "You need to go up to the feast," what we talked about last time. Jesus knew their hearts. He understood what they were doing, and he wasn't going to follow their direction and then deny the direction of his father. He was going to be led by his father because that's where results take place. And this is the humbling, and this is the repentance, and this is the casting of your care upon the Lord, which allows you to move forward to experience the real Jesus. That's why this is all important, and you can't experience the real him unless you experience the real you. And if we've got all these facades in front of our face because that's the way religion has taught us, that's the way of the world, then it becomes a hindrance and a blockade for you to actually see God. And seeing him, feeling him, knowing him, hearing him then becomes very difficult when it's supposed to be just how you do life. I want to read that last part. If your first concern is to look after yourself, you'll never find yourself. But if you forget about yourself and look to me, you'll find both yourself and me. So notice, if you'll let go of you, you'll actually not only find him, but you'll find the real you. But to let go of you means you can't be the one of importance. Your importance has to shift to Jesus and what he thinks about it. Years ago, they came out with bracelets that said WWJD. In other words, what would Jesus do? And if you're constantly living in communion with him, then you're not actually having to think about it. You're actually walking with him. But if you're not thinking about it, then think about it. What would Jesus do? I need to turn my attention to the Lord. Isn't it interesting when sickness and disease comes? And over the last 2 years with COVID, everybody ran to the doctors and they ran for the medicine because they were listening constantly to the fake news media giving all these things out that just did nothing but bring panic and fear to the whole world. The pandemic, you know, wasn't a virus as much as it was the fear that was being stood up in our faces. And we bowed to it because we became afraid of everything. We wouldn't go out. We wouldn't do this. We wouldn't do that. They placed us under all these mandates that weren't even authenticated in law in the Congress. I'm telling you, folks, there's some stinky fish in all of this. I hope you understand that. If we opened our eyes, we can see that not everything is as it's been told us. But we bowed to it. Listen, we can't bow. If you don't bow, you don't burn. Just ask the three Hebrew children. Amen. They wouldn't bow. They told Pharaoh, they told the king Nebuchadnezzar, "You're actually not our king and we're not going to bow." So if you throw us into the fire, God actually delivers us from the fire. And if you don't throw us into the fire, then we're not going to serve you because you're not our king. We got that all wrong years ago. Religion said if we don't, in other words, if we die, then we won't serve you. Well, no duh. If you're dead, you're not going to serve King Nebuchadnezzar anyhow. That story is not a story of weakness. That story is a story of 100%. I'm all in and God will save me. If you throw me into the fire, Nebuchadnezzar, God will deliver us from the fire. And if you don't, in other words, not if we don't come out of the fire, if God doesn't deliver us, but if you don't throw us into the fire, we're still not delivering you. Either way, in the fire, out of the fire, God is our God. And that's what made him 7 times more furious and caused the furnace to be heated so hot that the big burly guards that threw him in, when they opened the doors to the furnace, they were gone just like that. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walked in there, and there wasn't even a hair of their head that burned. There wasn't a smell of smoke. And the fourth man in the fire was Almighty God himself, Jesus, our Savior. Folks, that's what he's talking about. He's not talking about you giving up your rights to everything and you got a horrible life. He's talking about letting go of who you are. That's the pride that's hindering us from seeing God. He went on to say later in John 12:24-26, listen carefully, unless a grain of wheat is buried in the ground dead to the world, it is never any more than a grain of wheat. But if it is buried, it sprouts and reproduces itself many times over. In the same way, anyone who holds on to life just as it is destroys that life. But if you let it go reckless in your love, you'll have it forever, real and eternal. If any of you wants to serve me, then follow me. Then you'll be where I am, ready to serve at a moment's notice. The Father will honor and reward anyone who serves me. Man, Jesus is talking about some serious, awesome stuff there, but he's talking about you letting go of you so that you can really find him. And in finding him, you'll find you. Listen, if Jesus lives in us, then when you find him, you find you. If he lives in us, if you'll find you, you'll find him. Come on, this is the great mystery of the church, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I'll read one other little part of a passage right here in Romans 12:1-6 in the Message. It says, so here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. In other words, include him in on everything that you're doing. That's what Jesus was saying, and that's how Jesus walked with the Father. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings out the best in you, develops well-informed maturity in you. Well, I could read on a little bit more, but this is good. We'll stop right here. I think you got the picture of humility, of repentance, and of casting your care upon the Lord. Why? Because this is how God brings you to a place of recognition of spiritual things. Remember, if God's going to be more real to you, something else has to be less real to you. Well, we've just had so many wonderful testimonies in the church world, and we've just been seeing all kinds of great things. There is this doctor, he's a gynecologist actually in that church. He's delivered almost all the babies in that church. All the young people have been delivered by him. Well, he's lived for years and years with asthma to the point that he said, I can't do a hard workout without coughing, hacking, and taking an inhaler. We laid hands on him for his lungs and he took off running, went outside, ran 6 city blocks, came back. And actually, when I looked at him, you couldn't even tell that he ran. So I had to ask him, you mean you just ran? Because he wasn't huffing and puffing. He literally ran. He said, there's no coughing. There's nothing. I've got deep breath all the way to the bottom. Another young lady had the same exact thing. She'd been plagued with asthma. She couldn't do any particular work or get herself all riled up or that asthma would take over. And right there in the service, she said, it felt like something just came into my lungs and dropped my lungs all the way down. I could take a deep breath. She ran outside. She said, the only thing that she had was the pitter patter of her heart. And I said, well, now you get to run more and you won't have to be out of shape. But she was so blessed. Oh, just God just wants to do so many wonderful things, folks, for us. I know that he's doing that for you right now. And so we'll go ahead and stop. You can go to Adventures in Grace YouTube channel and subscribe and get other people there so that they can see these videos. Go to Jim Hockaday Ministry Facebook page and you can follow us. But for definitely for sure, go to our website so that you can go to the email, which is jhmi@jimhockaday.com, and write to us your grace stories. Until next time, God bless you.